VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. 10 o'clock, and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we will be here live, as always, in the studio today to take your questions, give you some information, and talk about fun things like the market this week, and a few things that we've got on our mind, what's going on in the world, and just pretty much anything. But if you want to pick the content, all you've got to do, as always, is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255. Callers will always go to the head of the line. They're more important than anything we've got to say. So if you're a regular listener, thank you for coming back. We do this for you. You do this for us, and we all get along just fine. How about that? If you're new to the listening audience and have heard about it or just happened by, see if you can spend an hour, and you might learn a lot. This is not like ordinary radio, financial radio shows anyway, where they're pre-recorded, and you have no input into what goes on or what is said or done on the show. That will not happen here. So stick with us. We're going to have all kinds of little fun things going on today. When you get a week like this, it's very difficult for people like us to be in a bad mood. So we'll talk about that part, too. I always try to sum up the market somehow right before I turn it over to Adam to tell you the details of what happened. And this week, all I can say is, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble.
So proving that the sun shines on a blind, whatever. You know, once in a while, my dad gets something right. This week was one of those times. He called the 22,000 thing actually before the year started, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It was over 1,000 points.
Yeah,
ago.
And he didn't specify if it had to, or he said it didn't have to close there.
Just had to touch it.
Right, and it didn't on the first cross, right. But then it actually ended up closing that day over. So
and three times now.
Yep. So, yep, congratulations are in order.
Well, we'll yield a little happen. Faith. He was pretty skeptical with the look on his face when I first did that. But I'm going to tell people this. I don't do these things to project or mislead you into thinking that I'm a great market guru. I know things that you don't. I just look at what's going on out there. And what's going on since the 8th of November is we've had an attitude change among business in this country that is astounding, and it's showing up every day. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, too, because there's some really funny things going on if you know how to look at them in the media. But meanwhile, as Adam said, we crossed the 2,000. That's not the only thing that happened, but that certainly is a harbinger of good things to come.
Yeah, it definitely is. And how fitting that Apple was the company that pushed it over.
Isn't it?
I mean, what other company would you want to do it in this day and age?
I was going to save this for the trivia question today, but I got another trivia question, so I'm just going to do it. A few weeks ago, when Apple was being panned by everybody, you know, Steve Cook is not the guy, and they don't have any innovation, no products, their sales are falling, there's too much competition, on and on and on and on. Look for the stock to fall. Warren Buffett, in his contrarian self, which I don't like the guy particularly because I think his version of wealth and his ideas are conflicting, but that's not what I'm talking about. I like his contrarian views on investing. He put a boatload of money into Apple during this time when nobody liked it. On Wednesday, Warren Buffett's net worth went up $1 billion in his Apple stock.
Wow.
Not a bad day.
No, not a bad day at all.
Takes money to make money.
Yeah, Apple's actually up 45% on the year, so not a bad call. And then the biggest gainer on the Dow, though, is actually Boeing, which is up 52%.
Same thing. Look at all the negative comments you've been reading this year.
Exactly.
People hate these companies, and they hate their stocks. Makes you wonder if they're going to pull a Warren Buffett sometime and try to talk him down and buy him. It can't be any other reason for this.
The Dow was actually kind of the only bright spot this week, though.
Yeah.
The S&P was up marginally at 0.2%, yeah. And the NASDAQ fell 0.4%. So everything else was pretty flat. And this year, three sectors are beating the S&P 500 on performance, which has the S&P is up 10.6%, so not a bad year. Tech is up 22.3%, healthcare is up 15.1%, and consumer discretionary is up 11.7%. So those are the three sectors really leading the S&P. Energy and telecom are the only two negative sectors, down 12.7% and 9.3% respectively. Telecom was actually down more, but actually at the beginning of July started to rally and has done decently since then. So the gains actually are justified by the earnings is what we're seeing. So as you were talking about earlier, there's a reason for all of this. Earnings have grown 10% year over year for the second quarter of the year. So from last year, earnings have increased 10%, and the S&P is up just over 10%. I wonder,
when you cut to the chase.
Exactly.
Get rid of all the fluff and all the noise and all the 24/7 media. What drives the market? Profit. What drives profit?
Exactly.
Business conditions. Why do I make predictions like 22,000? Because I see business conditions improving.
And despite the pretty rapid rise in the price of stocks, the price-to-earnings ratio of the market has actually been going down from earlier this year. So those earnings are really catching up to the prices that everyone was saying were inflated. The P/E ratio of the market was at 22. It's now just over 21. So,
and believe me, that makes a difference in the safety of where we are.
Definitely. Yeah, it takes us out of the overbought territory in a lot of cases. So the market's actually a lot smarter than we give it credit for sometimes, I think is the conclusion we can draw from
that. It's important to remember, negativity is an industry.
It is.
There is an entire industry in writing, on television, on the airwaves. There's an entire industry based on negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Newsletters, the whole thing.
Earnings continued this week with the close of the second quarter. And announcing. The beat rate has continued to drop, unfortunately. It now stands at 60.7%, which is on the weak side. The revenue beat rate dropped slightly to 61.6, which is a little less than last quarter, but still pretty good. Yeah.
The problem, again, is the expectations were getting ahead of themselves. So you've got to look at what they're not beating and what they are beating, and what they're beating is last year.
Yeah, and then I mentioned earlier that tech was leading the S&P in all sectors this year. Well, it's also leading on earnings beats at 69%, and then financial, healthcare, and consumer staples are all above average as well, with energy being the weakest. So performance really does correlate to earnings and performance of the company.
Yep.
So this year continues to be a good one for the international markets. The Turkish market is now up by more than 37%. I have no idea why. Well, Spain is up over 30% as well. And the worst performing market is Russia at negative 5.28%, which actually is a big improvement over last quarter when it was under 10.
Well, Putin better get on the phone and call his buddy in the White House. Oh, wait, he's at the club now. The White House is torn up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're redoing it. Oh, that just makes for some killer time on television. I love the talking heads.
One thing we do need to talk about when we come back is the jobs report.
We're going to beat it up, and I promise you, you're going to hear analysis here of the jobs reports that you will not hear anywhere else. There are things going on that are far better than what's been reported. I'm also going to talk about some of the negative ways people are trying to spin this thing, and it is just jocular. So do not go anywhere. This is going to be a heap of fun. I will give you the actual trivia question after the break also. So we'll go out and pay a few bills. We'll come right back and do a few things that are going to be just a boatload of fun, I think. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question for today, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. I'm going to be talking a little bit, if we get to it later on, and we probably will, about retirement plans and how well you think you're set for retirement or otherwise. This relates to that. What percentage of Americans who have access to a 401k plan actually contribute to it?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know that anybody will get real close, but if the more people who call and try, we can bracket the thing.
I can tell you it's a lot higher than it used to be because they're doing things like auto-enroll, and you have to opt out now instead of the other way around. So it's increased dramatically, I know that.
And as you have pointed out, millennials are actually better than baby boomers.
Yeah, their rates substantially higher, and my generation.
Yeah, and X's too. So there's hope out there, but man, we could be doing a lot better, and this number will show you that. All right, jobs, 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 and jobs.
Yeah, it was a good week if you want to find a job.
Yes.
Or a good month, actually.
In fact, the number of days to fill a job is now at an all-time high.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, the both employment reports came out this week. The ADP came out on Wednesday. It showed 178,000, which is a good number.
Adequate.
But the
remember, that's the whole private sector, not nothing to do with public works or anything.
Correct, yeah. But the real good report came out on Friday where the household survey showed that there was a huge inflow into the workforce, came in at a net increase of 345,000 employed people. And the
which was made up of something like 190 in population increase, and the rest of them were the people that used to be on the sidelines that are now optimistic enough about finding a job that they have actually begun the search again.
The establishment survey showed for the second straight month over 200,000 new jobs created. So all in all, and there was a slight positive adjustment to the prior 2 months. So all in all, it was a really good report.
I mean, promised an analysis that you won't hear anywhere else. And here it is. You have heard me lately complaining about the theys. They expect this. They expect that. They miss a lot of the economic data because they are over-expecting this and under-expecting that. And it's enough to drive you crazy if you follow this stuff. But I found one this morning that really opened my eyes. Jobs numbers reported from the government are always seasonally adjusted, meaning they try to factor out what usually happens this time of year. And what would usually happen this time of year? Obviously, we've had college graduations and such, so people do go into the workforce and some of them start working. So you would expect that there would be sort of a summer bump and all this stuff. Well, they seasonally adjusted the number in order to get the 209,000 by eliminating from that number for a adjusting it, they call it. They reduced it by 1,039,000 people to get the 209.
I mean, it's, what is that, a 500% decrease,
yeah, like that.
Adjustment, something like that.
Yep. So what that means is if you add up the household survey and re-enter the seasonal adjustment, 1,384,000 people went back to work or went to work for the first time in the month of July. We now have more people working in this country than ever before. The unemployment rate slipped despite hundreds of thousands of people coming back into the market. The unemployment rate slipped down to 4.3, the best in 16 years.
Well, wasn't it 4.3 2 months ago?
Yes, it was 4.3, then 4.4, then 4.3, because each time the people are coming in and we're absorbing them fast enough to keep it there. So it's been 16 years since those things happened. So now the funny part. On the talking head shows on Fox yesterday and this morning, were a couple of, shall we say, people who don't favor Trump. And they were explaining to all of us who would listen that Trump can't claim this economy because he hasn't been in office long enough. So one of them said it takes 4 years for a president to have an impact on the economy. before I torpedo that, I'll tell you what the other one said. The other one said it would take a long time. He was a little less about it, but both of them claimed that this was the thank you Obama economy doing this, and it just took, what, 8.5 years to get here? And I look back and say, when did this start? It started on the 9th of November when something happened. Now, as an economist, and I can call myself one if I want to. I guess I have a minor. I've been practicing for years. Anyway, as what we're taught in classical monetary economics, which is the kind that is never practiced by the Fed or the CBO, it's just correct. Read Milton Friedman if you need a better explanation of it. In classical old economic terms, it takes a normal president in a normal time a year to have the impact from his policy on the economy. And the reason for that is you're not going to get into office and Congress will pass a law immediately that reflects what you think. That should never be more obvious than it was over the last month when we couldn't even get them to do the things they promised, much less the things he promised to do. So once that happens, the theory is it takes 6 to 9 months to do that. And then a quarter or two out, you see the actual economic impact. So a year or so is the classic definition of when the president actually has an influence on a normal economy. This was not a normal economy. How many times in our lives have we been in a situation where for 8 years we never even reached 3% growth? And for those of you who don't know the answer to that, it's zero. It does not happen. So what we've had now is called pent-up demand. People have been chomping at the bit to do business in this country, to hire people, to grow and expand. Despite the lack of Obamacare repeal and replace, so we still have those stupid regulations, penalties, mandates, all that stuff. Despite that, people became so optimistic as of the 9th of November that they started unleashing the pent-up demand. Now, they would not have had that, and they would not have done that if Hillary had been elected. So to all those people who say, claim it if you want to, you now know the truth. As I do. This is a reaction to Trump. This is the Trump economy, and it's going to continue on for a while because he's already, and they'll never tell you this, he's already knocked out tons of regulations.
I don't think it's even what he's done so far. I think the single biggest thing is that he's done is what he's not doing. And the fear that existed in business over the last 8 years was that the just around the corner was another regulation or another burdensome piece of legislation that would hurt your business. And so therefore people were paralyzed by inaction because they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what Obamacare was going to, what penalty was going to be incurred on them in the future. And Trump, by telling people that I'm not going to do any of that, is a bigger move than getting rid of anything that's already been done.
Yeah. What the market hates, what business people hate, is uncertainty.
Exactly.
You don't invest $1 billion here and $1 billion there unless you're pretty darn certain what that return on that money is going to be. And I don't mean the return of your money like so many annuity people who do shows and do all kinds of print ads will tell you you get an 8, 9, 10 to 13% return on your money. No. That's what you get, a return of your money. Will Rogers notwithstanding, I don't know how many of you remember, but Will Rogers said it's much more important to worry about the return of your money than the return on your money. But he was not in our business. Where in our business is much, much more important. You can't discount the other one, but yeah. Return on your money. Speaking of which, we had an interesting conversation about return on your money also this week in our real life jobs, which Adam will tell you about right after the break. Anyway, the return you should get in a rising market like this is actually age dependent. Know what I mean?
No.
Okay. Well, what is one of the biggest problems that young people make in investing?
Well, they're too conservative.
Exactly right. They don't take enough risk. If you are in your teens, 20s, 30s, early 40s, you should be a lot of people will say 50, 60% in equities. I say 80 to 100% in equities. You've got years and years and years. Part of the reason that people are so unprepared, and I've got a whole slew of dissertation on this one coming up. Part of the reason that people are so woefully underprepared for retirement is that they started too late. That's obvious. Part of the reason is they didn't save enough money along the way. That's very obvious. But a big share of it is they didn't take enough risk. A young person who goes into a money market fund and calls it retirement saving is digging his own shallow grave.
Yeah, you're returning less than inflation. So you're actually losing money.
You're losing
every
money
year.
By saving money. So you have to take some risk. That risk goes down as you get older, but you can't listen to all those talking heads that'll tell you that there's a formula for how much you should have in equities. You have to factor in lifetime income such as pensions, royalties, annuities, whatever it is you're getting, before you can begin to make a comprehensive plan for investing in equities versus fixed income and other. So it is a complicated process. Generalizing does no good. So I'm going to generalize. How's that? The younger you are, the more equities. That's about as far as you can generalize. And I'll give you the stats on how badly people are doing at that after the next break. So when we come back, we'll tell you a little bit more about our day jobs. And we'll talk about equities and such. And just, there's more to say than time to say it. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia questions sponsored by First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. What percentage of Americans who have access to a 401k actually use it to defer compensation into, and it's a sad number, I'll tell you that. So, all right, Adam, why don't you tell the folks a little bit about what we are when we're not here?
Sure. In our day jobs, we're fee-only financial planners. We're located out in Jacksonville Beach, right off of Butler Boulevard, easy to get to from all points in the city. And if you want to visit us, you can always give us a call, 685-1505, or find us online, vanweefinancial.com. We've been updating our website a bunch recently. It looks really good. We just, our service provider just did a revamp of the site, and I think it's a positive thing. The blogs now have pretty pictures and all sorts of good stuff. So,
and we've had really good feedback, too.
Yeah, definitely. So find us there. You can always book an appointment with us by calling us or just do it online. There's a little button on the website that says book a meeting. Click it and you'll be able to look at our schedule, pick a time that works for you, and come by and see us.
Yeah. We'll never charge you.
Nope.
So what do you got to lose? An hour of your time and a little bit of travel? And as Adam said, even that part's not hard. All right. There's little in life I like more than being surprised. And in our jobs, we're not that often surprised. You've been around this job a long time. Think you've seen it all and heard it all.
In fact, people sit at our table and think they're going to surprise us, but
exactly.
They rarely
do. Very,
do.
Very difficult to do. That said, it happened this week. And I'm still kind of laughing about it because on its face, it is so absurd.
It really is.
But in practice, it's absolutely right. How many times have we heard this? I can't afford to retire.
Oh, many, many times.
I mean, almost daily, weekly. And quite frankly, most of the time when people say that, they're right.
Yeah, and a lot of times when people say, I want to retire, they're wrong, meaning they can't retire.
Right. And unfortunately, and this is a problem that is not getting fixed fast enough for my satisfaction, a lot of times it's because they simply don't have an answer to what will I do for health insurance.
Yeah, a lot of times it's because they don't have enough money either.
Yeah, there are various reasons for it, but it's a common expression. Now, how many times have you heard this? I can't afford to retire. I have too much money.
Yeah, that one I've only heard once, and it was this week.
Mm-hmm. And it may sound a bit crazy, but when you look at it, it's actually very interesting, and it's completely dependent on the priorities of the person who has it. That we have a client, single lady who is over 70 and a half, which means simply that she has to take required minimum distributions. She has a traditional IRA and a TSP, Thrift Savings Plan, because she works for the government, and that is the government's form of a 401k. Now, most 401k type plans, and this includes a TSP, they will allow you to defer your required beginning date. It's called RBD, and that means the date on which you have to start withdrawing money by law from your plan. That happens the year after you turn 70 and a half, although most people are better off taking it during the year they're 70 and a half. The required beginning date is actually not till the next year. Well, that year gets postponed a year for every year you work, and she's still working. So what happens in this case is she is taking, has to take, and is taking required minimum distributions from the traditional IRA. That's, you know, to live off of, and because it's the law, and the IRAs do not have that same deferral program with them. So by working, she makes X amount of money, but $24,000 of that can be deferred into the TSP. So look at the double whammy we just got. She does not have to take a withdrawal, which would be a minimum of $15,000, probably quite a bit more. I don't know the numbers on it, so I'm just telling you the more the process than anything. So she doesn't have to take additional income, which would probably push her into a higher tax bracket. Not only that, she adds to it, so it gets bigger with her contributions. Not only that, the government matches some of the funds, so it gets bigger yet. Not only that, by not withdrawing from it, the investments in the plan are allowed to continue growing. So it's like a quadruple whammy. And now here's some conditions. If you hate your job, you're not going to do this.
No. A lot of people don't want to work that long.
No. And quite frankly, I can't tell for sure if it would raise her taxes a little or lower them a little. I come out almost dead even whether she's working or not. But think about this. The net worth increase is probably between $50,000 and $100,000 on average a year.
Annually? Wow.
Annually. Because of the contribution, the lack of deduction, and the growth and the match, it may be closer to $50,000. But if you are working for income and paying most of it in taxes, I don't find that very rewarding. But if you're working and using it to improve your net worth, I find that very rewarding.
That's a lot of money.
We had a pretty lengthy chat about this because on its surface, it seemed so crazy. And yet, the more we talked about it, the more we realized this is a real-life story of a real-life situation, and I find it fascinating. Now, granted, you got to probably be something of a geek to really appreciate this stuff. But, you know, the day I tell you I'm not a geek is the day you know I'm losing it or have lost it, one or the other. But I thought you might enjoy that. Huh? I can't afford to retire. I have too much money.
Hate when that happens.
My goal in life now has changed.
Yeah, mine too. Exactly.
That's it. All right. Speaking of things like that, what do you got?
Actually, it's nothing to do with that, but it has to do with something we were talking about earlier, different sectors and Trump.
Oh, yeah. How did Adam do? You heard my prediction came true. Let's see how you did.
Yeah. I think I did okay, actually.
Good.
Right before the election, I sat down and did some guesses at which sectors would perform under Trump or Clinton. Obviously, Clinton didn't become president, so none of those are relevant.
And the welfare sector.
We can only speculate what would have happened. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to talk about what actually happened since Trump got in office. And so I looked at the data from November 9th through yesterday, or no, sorry, through Thursday. And this is what I found out. So by the sector, healthcare and biotech, my advice was to buy for a Trump presidency. And the performance so far on the year, the Vanguard Healthcare ETF is up 12.3%. And IBB, which is the biotech, NASDAQ biotech ETF, is up 10.45. So I think that was a pretty good prediction.
Works for me.
It's the it's actually still the one sector I'm the most nervous about moving forward, though.
Yeah.
Just because the uncertainty around it with the Trump Care, Obamacare repeal, I just don't know what's going to happen.
We need to interrupt for a moment to bring you Mr. Marshall. How are you?
Gentlemen.
What's up today?
I have two questions around the RMD discussion you were just having.
Yeah.
Number one, if you're still working and you have your corporate 401k, can you roll one of your IRAs into that 401k so you don't have to do an RMD on it?
Yes. Under one condition.
Okay.
You have to read your 401k plan and make sure it allows incoming rollovers.
Gotcha.
Most of
many,
them will.
Many do. So, yeah.
By far. That's probably a 98, 99%er.
Yeah. Right. If you're working for a big company, most likely they have a plan that has a standard set of docs that includes incoming rollovers.
Yep. And next?
So if at 70 and a half, I've got everything in my corporate 401k and I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
Am I then going to have larger amounts that I'm going to have to be taken out, or percentages?
Yes, because it's always based on your life expectancy, which decreases by a certain amount every year.
Okay, so you're just kind of like compressing the spring a little bit more.
And spreading it, too. You're spreading it longer.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to take it all every year. So.
But you're also getting the benefit of those extra years of it compounding. Mm-hmm. So it
can
it can be a really beneficial thing.
Yeah, that it's a
thank you very much.
Well, yeah, it's a very wonderful thing if you don't mind work, and I know you're doing just fine. Thank
Some
you very much.
Love what we do. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon. That's a good question, and it will work for most people. A lot of 401ks have special provisions that have to be written into the plan. You can say 98 or 99% of them have them, but if that plan's not written to do it, you can't do it. You can, however, approach your HR department and ask them very sweetly and politely if they wouldn't just want to amend the plan for little old you. Most of them will.
Yeah, no.
Because most of those plans that don't have them were written so long ago, it just wasn't an issue. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Wonderful. And you?
Oh, fine. What'd you do with the roulette wheel stock this week?
Spent all the money in advance.
I bought.
Yeah, I thought about it.
I bought it 160.
It looked like you made some, those people
bucks.
Who don't know, we're talking about a little tiny stock that we've been following on and off for years. And you haven't even defined volatility until you've looked at something like
this. No, it went down 28% one day in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, for the...
Well, what happened was three of the patients in the Inspire study where there's, died.
Of other
had
causes.
Had nothing to do with scaffolding.
And then
it had to do with...
Boom.
So now they've announced, they're going to stop enrolling people till they got people that they know aren't going to die of something else.
Exactly. Better screen.
And as long as the product is real, which it is, you might as well take a shot again. So like I say, I bought it 160. I made a couple hundred bucks.
Hey, nice. Very nice. What the heck?
But it's fun. It is. I'm telling you, it's like you wouldn't really. This is, like I say, crapshoot money.
Yep.
But it's really kind of fun. I mean, you wonder how many stocks are out there like that,
though. Hundreds.
Many.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only for you uber wealthy retirees to do things like
that.
No,
man, that's uber wealthy. A couple of grand. Come on.
Yeah, it is important
to
keep it
in perspective. I'll give you a call from Jamaica next week.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, take care, guys.
All right, be good, Dave. It's funny. Like I said, the uber wealthy or just a couple grand. If you want to play with any of this stuff, we always tell people get a little side account and you live it up to your heart's content. If it keeps you happy, and if you happen to be a success, then roll it into your serious money when you take the profits out, which works fine. All right, again, lines are open, 222-TALK, and the trivia question is out there. What percentage of Americans who have available a 401k plan actually contribute their own money to it, and it's not pretty? All right, where were we?
We're actually talking about healthcare and biotech and how they've done quite well since the election.
Speak of the devil, that's a biotech thing we're talking about.
Exactly, and my advice was to buy, and it looks like that was a pretty good call.
Yep.
Utilities, my advice was also to buy. Mm-hmm. This was a really good call because the performance has been plus 16.48% on the Vanguard Utilities Sector ETF.
And those are safety and security and income stocks.
Yeah, and that was also, that was not just a Trump presidency thing. That was also a, the sector had been risen up really fast, then pulled back right before the election. And so it just kind of looked enticing anyway.
It was undervalued.
And also, you have to think that utility sector is going to thrive in a new, less regulated environment. And with manufacturing coming back to America, that's their biggest customer. So it was kind of a win-win scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer cyclical, my advice, buy. Performance, plus 15.79 on the Vanguard consumer cyclical.
Cyclical, in this case, does not mean the time of year. It means when people have excess money to spend. By the way, here's a number for you. People, since the election now, or since a year ago, basically, people who claim to be living paycheck to paycheck have gone down. Do you know how much?
No.
About 9.5% of the entire American population of 330 million now say that they're no longer living paycheck to paycheck in a year.
That's about, what, 30 million people?
That's a lot of people.
They're a little under 30 million?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Now, either somewhere they're smoking the funny weed that I want to talk about here about returns on marijuana stocks, but that's another topic altogether, or they're feeling a lot more secure about their finances, their jobs, their futures, their prospects, and so on, and that means they'll spend longer-term money on things like cars and homes and all. It's a wonderful cycle.
Definitely.
And that's what the consumer cyclical is. It's when people feel good and have money, they buy the stuff. So you forecast well again.
Consumer defensive, I also said buy. This one is only up just under 6%. So I'm not going to say I was wrong, but it has underperformed the market in general. So maybe it should have been a hold. Energy, my advice was hold. The performance on the Vanguard Energy ETF is negative 7.57%. So that one probably should have been a sell. Although,
too late now, I think.
Long term, I still think energy has room
to
go.
Of the 30 stocks that are the furthest, 30 S&P 500 stocks that are the furthest off of their all-time high, 11 of those 30 are in the energy field. That's how beaten up the field
is. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It is. Which, you know, if you're a contrarian, it's like the Warren Buffett discussion.
So screams buy.
Yeah, if you're a contrarian, you buy.
Industrials, I said buy. Performance 13.81% to the positive, so that was a good one. And I just couldn't think of a single reason why industrials wouldn't do better under Trump. Can you argue with that?
No.
Yeah.
I can't because I bought that sector in my 401k about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago.
Financials, I said hold. Performance has been up 16.6%. Looking back, I said hold for Trump and buy for Hillary just because Goldman Sachs was such in her back pocket. Mm-hmm. And I should have said buy for Trump, too. I did not see that coming. So,
yeah, at least you held it. And if you owned any, you reaped the reward.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it would be better under Hillary.
It's funny, though. Very few things we've looked at have turned into a recommendation to sell out of our client portfolios. We have been doing some selling in the food and beverage industry because the Amazon deal with Whole Foods made the market anti that sector. I think it's completely overblown.
It's actually bounced back from its initial drop, so it hasn't been terrible.
It's
still down
alone.
About 2%.
If you drive past restaurants and the parking lots are full, are you going to sell the restaurant stocks in that ETF? I agree. I can't bring myself to do it.
So for real estate, I said buy. It's up about 5.5%. Not fantastic, but still not bad.
No.
Materials, I actually didn't do a prediction because I thought Hillary and Trump would both have the same effect. They were both talking about the same infrastructure plans. I would have put a buy on it if I had to pick something, and it was up over 13%.
And that's just before the whole infrastructure debate has started.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just a reaction to the business climate right at the moment.
And then last, telecom, I didn't do a prediction because I didn't really see anything that differentiated the two, and it's up 2% on the year for BOX. Yeah, so
I don't know what's overall not too bad down, but for some reason that industry can't buy a break right now.
Well, they keep trying to buy each other's customers. That's killing them. Yeah. I mean, if you can get a great deal on a Verizon phone if you're an AT&T customer. You cannot get a great deal on a Verizon phone if you're a Verizon customer.
Clark Howard made his fame and fortune on that one when he invented the term customer no service.
Yeah, exactly.
And he explained how all the companies were competing for your customers and you, their customers, can go forget it.
Yeah, I think the cable company is the best example of that.
And you better believe it. If only you could get in there for a day and make a difference. All right. One of the easiest parts of my job is to look at headlines and laugh at them and debunk them. So you'd probably be disappointed if I didn't come up with a couple of them, wouldn't you?
Let's see what you got.
If you can't hold it in your hand, do you really own it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's another one of those gold ploys. And I'm telling you, people, you will hear it from me if I can ever verify that holding an IRA gold or silver in your hand, in your home, is actually legalized by IRS. Everything I've ever known, everything I've ever learned about this, I asked my CPA, she didn't know. Your IRA, if it's going to own real estate, gold or silver, and a few other collectible things, has to be held in the hands of a third-party custodian whose job is to do exactly that. If you put that thing in your hand or in your safe at home, be prepared to lose the tax-deferred status of your IRA and get a tax bill for the entire market value. I don't trust these people because I can't see anywhere where it changed. If there are accountants, attorneys, or anybody out there who know that I am not right or just haven't found the answer, please let me know. Till then, don't do it. Besides, I own a lot of self-confidence. I can't hold that in my hand.
Okay.
If you can't hold it in your hand, you really own it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right, here's another one. Women are not a one-size-fits-all demographic. They're speaking to financial advisors. No kidding.
That's shocking.
Men are? Women aren't? Women aren't? Men. Nobody's a one-size-fits-all. That's the second dumbest thing I've ever heard. I told you my job was easy. All right. Americans who have access to 401k plans, one-third of you actually contribute. Two-thirds of you better get off your butts or you're not going to be very happy when it comes to retirement time. I'll talk more about that next week. But, you know, you can lead them to water. That's about all I can say. We will be back next week with all kinds of new and exciting things. Maybe another up week in the market. We can only hope. So we'll see you same time, same station. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.